This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I have a whole bunch of that stuff.
Good, yeah.
And who you hear with me is my friend Sean Scott, attorney Sean Scott. Welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad you're here. As you can see, Lynn's not here today. I think she's trying to have like a little contest with me who can do the most traveling.
Where is she at?
She's in Buffalo visiting her friend Frank. So I hope you guys are having a really good time. So I won't see her until I get back. I leave Sunday morning for Peru with a group called Gutsy Women Travel.
Oh my God, that sounds cool.
And I don't know any of them.
That's gutsy.
I think so, yes, because it's a little nervous just like going there and somebody's going to meet me at the airport, you know, and that kind of thing. But
how many people are going?
14 in our group.
Wow, that's a lot.
So I think that's a nice number, though.
I've always wanted to go to Peru, not been.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
And there's just so many different, we're going to go into a Peruvian home. We're going to go into a restaurant and learn Peruvian cooking. We're going to go to a school and an orphanage. We're bringing things. So I'm bringing 12 boxes of colored pencils.
Right.
Which is a big deal for a kid,
Cool. Excellent.
So and we go,
you're
going to
take pictures, right? So we can see?
No, me.
Yeah. A little Machu Picchu action?
Yeah, Machu Picchu.
Action. Excellent.
They said I need a walking stick, but
that's a good idea.
I'm going to get it when I get there.
It makes it easier.
They got it there. Yeah. I don't want to be bringing it on my luggage either or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
one more reason to get stopped.
We were in Europe. There was all these people in Cinque Terre, and they all had walking sticks. And I was like, why do they all have these walking sticks? I mean, this is not that hard of a walk. But apparently, it makes it less tiring on you, even if you're just kind of doing normal kind of grades.
Well, in Machu Picchu is a lot of steps up there, and the elevation.
And I heard it's a little high.
Yeah, I heard a little bit. So I got all my, electrolyte stuff to put in my water. Right. And all that kind of, I'll be fine.
Very cool. Good. I can't wait to see the pictures.
Yeah, I can't wait either. So I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Bridget in Beverly Hills, Janet in Seminole, and Julia in St. Pete. And like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners. Whether you listen to us live on AMFM or you listen to us on Facebook or YouTube or my website or wherever they'll take us. Because we're
Beverly Hills, though, right?
Yes.
Do you know where that's at?
It's in Florida.
Is in Florida.
The first time a listener contacted me from Beverly Hills, I thought it was California.
It was California, sure, right, exactly. It's this little small town, if you can even call it that, in between Inverness and Crystal River.
Yeah.
So. And they actually are hills there.
Really?
Yeah, there actually are hills.
I guess that's maybe why they named it.
Maybe.
That.
That's it, right.
Maybe. I don't know. So one thing I want to say this morning is, I had a support group this morning, and we were talking about purpose for our loved ones. And I think purpose, everyone wants a purpose in life.
Yep, I
agree. Some kind of purpose.
Yep.
And so, for instance, when I was caring for my mom was able and everything. But I was doing everything for my mom. Even if we went to a restaurant, I didn't even realize she couldn't read anymore. She would just go, my assistant will order for me. Stuff like that she would do. And, but she was always like, Linda, because she knew I was doing everything for her. Linda, is there anything I can do to help you? And I'd be, there's some laundry in the basket there, Mom, if you want to fold it. I don't want to do that. Okay,
can I do anything but not that?
Yeah. 20 minutes later, Linda, is there anything I can do to help you? And I would say, there's some couple of dishes. And I'd say, I don't want to do that. Okay. Well, my mom was a legal secretary, though.
Wow, really?
And that was a big deal in the day.
Yeah, sure,
at her
still
age
a big deal.
And everything,
right?
So what I did is I went to Staples and I printed out 500 phony letters and bought 500 envelopes and printed out 500 phony labels. And I was like, Mom, if you could just stuff these for me and put these labels on me, it would help me so much with my work. She wasn't even going to read it or anything.
Right.
And it took her like 5 nights watching Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
And putting those and stuffing.
Yeah. But when she handed that box to me.
Right.
She was so proud.
Right, because she had accomplished
it. Was the
that.
Best $20 I ever spent.
Yeah, excellent.
After that, I got her a little gig at the Chamber of Commerce, collating and stapling once a month.
So you know? Farmed her out now?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to go to Staples every now
and then. I understand.
But really, about finding a purpose. So Another woman that used to come to my support group, she came and she said to me, you know, my mom follows me around the house all day. She just follows me. If she would just sit down for a little while.
Right.
So I went and met with her mom, and her mom was a teacher. She was like 92 years old. And so first we had a conversation about how rotten all the kids are today and about how the teachers are not paid enough. And what we do is every Monday morning she gives mom a big piece of poster board and a bunch of magazines. It says, Mom, the teachers are teaching the kids next week about flowers.
Right.
So we need you to cut all the flowers out of this magazine and glue it on the poster board, and you can't have any white spots.
Oh, my goodness.
And it takes her 10 hours a week, 5 days, 2 hours a day.
Right.
And she does it.
All right.
And then she started bringing it to the school, and kids started sending thank you notes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And you know what? Next Monday, you could do flowers again.
Yeah, because it's a whole new Monday.
Right.
Yep.
But she's a teacher. You know, another woman, her mother was a seamstress. So they give her boxes, this big box, with a big jar filled with buttons. And then these boxes with these little compartments that, Mom, can you please sort the buttons? And sometimes she sorts them by color and sometimes by size. And every now and then she picks up that one button and she goes, just like on the dress I made you when you were in second grade.
Oh, wow. That long term came in, huh?
And then they get to have a little conversation.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And once again, we can pour all the buttons in the jar every night.
And we're having an active kind of conversation with that person in the moment, which is super important.
What they can grab.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, I went to see my friend Mama Rose yesterday. Mama Rose is 98 years old, and I wanted to see her as often as possible because she's 98 years old.
Right, yep, yep, sure.
And she's declining because she kept saying, I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost when I was there yesterday, and do I live here?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But I've been cleaning out books, and I had a big coffee table book of Life magazine.
Like covers or something? Or
Our articles, all photos
really cool.
Were in Life magazine.
Right, really neat.
And so I brought it. And what fun we had with
that's
it.
That's cool. And she's 98.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was like one part where we're like looking through the magazine, and they were showing women with corsets, you know, like these just strap them and tie them in, whatever.
Sure,
and I remember like a year or so ago, Mama Rose telling me that her mother had a job in the day going to women's houses, measuring them for corsets.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. And she goes,
whalebone and the whole nine yards.
I used to go there, and sometimes they were fat ladies, and sometimes they were smelly ladies. She said, and I swore I would never wear a corset, and she never did.
Right. But so it triggered that memory, and that triggered that conversation. So,
yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Like, just here and there, you could, you know, if you bring something like that, you can connect to something there.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, there's some pictures of you, like, nurses in the Army. She was a nurse.
Oh, wow.
So, you know. So it was just delightful, and I just enjoyed spending time with her. So do those kind of things with your loved one. And if people are coming over to your house to visit, and sometimes they don't come because they don't know what to say, or when they get there, they don't know what to say, they don't know how to have a conversation, just create a memory box. So if your mom was a Girl Scout leader, go on the internet and print out some pictures of Girl Scouts. And if you want to go one step further, right on the bottom, Troop 1410. That was my troop, whatever the troop was.
Okay.
You know, and if she lived in Brooklyn or she likes to bake, and then a person can pick up a photo and say to Mom,
sure,
I didn't know you were a Girl Scout leader.
And it gives them something to focus on and connect on.
Yeah.
And hopefully trigger those kinds of responses. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Really good idea.
Makes me happy. So, Sean, people have been sending me questions to ask you this past week.
Well, that's good. Ask the lawyer.
Because sometimes they're bashful to call in.
Sure, understand,
And I think this is a great question. My mother has dementia. She says, me and my sister are equal POA, etc. But she says she can't find the documents. I don't know if she had them done with a lawyer or whoever she said. Is there any way to trace this? And if not, what should I do?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? So you have this super important document, a power of attorney, and lets you be able to act on your mom's behalf. Again, cannot emphasize how important it is to have that document. But now you've lost it, or it's gone, or it's disappeared.
Right.
Well, how do you, a little bit of Sherlocking here. You have to see, well, did mom use that? Did we have it at the bank, for example? Did they make a copy of it? Maybe our broker needed it, so we made a copy of it for them. Obviously, if you can find the lawyer.
So maybe you contact those people first.
Correct. To say, hey, listen, I'm looking for the power of attorney. Do you have a copy of it for sure?
Yeah.
Trying to find the lawyer, well, would be really nice. But if you don't know who that lawyer is,
right,
then that's a dead end as well. One of the things I would think about is all right, well, does mom still have enough capacity to sign a new power of attorney?
Because that was one of the other questions. Can my loved ones sign legal documents even with dementia?
And this is a big issue. I mean, we see a lot of times that people will wrongly believe that, oh, mom's diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Well, we're too late to get a power of attorney now. That's not true, okay? Just because you have a diagnosis, just because you're suffering from some symptoms of memory loss and/or dementia, as we know,
depends on the extent. That's how
a big spectrum, right? It can be the beginning of your disease process,
right.
And you're fine-ish, right? But you're definitely fine enough to sign a document at that point.
Yeah.
Versus way down the tracks where you don't know who you are, where you are, and what you're doing, then that's too late at that point
right.
in time. But when I'm looking at doing these documents, there's some subjectivity on my part to do that analysis as to the capacity of the person. I mean, how with it are they, right?
Yeah, you've met so many people.
Over the last 32 years, I mean, I've seen so many different flavors of dementia. And what I'm looking for in those cases is, does that person have enough of their capacity, their mind, so to speak, to say, yeah, I want her to help me.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And is it okay if she does things for you, like takes care of your checkbook and things like that? Of course, absolutely. And I want her to help me. I'm like, well, would you sign this for me? Oh, sure. Okay, now if I asked her who the president was, she might not know.
That's not the question were asking.
That's not right. And I'm not trying to figure out exactly, you know, how perfect her memory is. I want her to be able to say, yes, I know who
that
person
is.
I trust her and I want her to help me.
Right.
And if it's the daughter that had already had a power of attorney for mom, and I'm kind of just replacing that, I just need something, right? However, if it's the neighbor that brings this person into my office and says, I want to be power of attorney for this person, and I'm like, well, where's the daughter? Well, we don't like the daughter. Where is she?
Right, exactly.
And the person's capacity is very, very, very minimal. That's kind of a different set of facts than if it's the daughter replacing the one that she already had.
Yeah.
See, so it's very subjective in my world. So I would try to get a new one. That would be the first thing I would do.
Yeah,
so,
I think that would be the simplest thing really to
correct.
Do.
Yep. Just don't throw up your hands, oh, it's too late. Now here's the deal. If you can't find the power of attorney, it's gone. A mom's capacity is not sufficient to do what we need to do. What do you do then? That's a good follow-up kind of question. And in that case, you're not exactly stuck, but you're going to have to pivot and look at establishing a guardianship,
okay.
Which is basically why you have a power of attorney in the first place, is
right.
to avoid going down that path. But if that power of attorney option is not there, the guardianship situation would allow you to slot in or to stand in the shoes of mom like you would be with the power of attorney. You're just going to have to jump through some legal hoops. There will have to be a court hearing, a judge, a lawyer involved. But, you know, you're not totally dead in the water.
No, but you know what makes me nervous here? She said power of attorney, et cetera. What about healthcare surrogate? I mean, that's something I think you need to act on that one immediately.
Yeah, as well, you know, because the power of attorney is more of a financial kind of, this is a little simplification, but really the financial affairs of the person, and the healthcare surrogate is the medical affairs of that person. The way I draft my healthcare surrogate in the office, it's functionally a power of attorney for healthcare decisions. And it's really nice to have that person. And as a backup, if you are not able to do your thing and talk to your doctors as to what should happen, it's really nice to be able to say, well, I'm their backup person, and this is what I want to do or not do. And then you got to jump from that to the ultimate decision, because part of this advanced planning is going to include a living will as well.
Right.
Well, if push comes to shove, we have a Terry Schiavo situation, and I know it makes me
nightmare.
Want to avoid that for sure. A piece of paper that says, "Hey, if I'm in a bad way, don't do anything or get out." I like to say, "Get out of my way. Don't get in my way. I'm checking out. Don't
pull the damn plug.
Don't delay. Don't delay this." Which would be nice to know what your wishes are. And conversely, if you do want them to do everything possible, which is an okay thing too, it's
your choice.
Tell us So that et cetera is a big deal. I think you're right. Yeah, it's not just the power really of attorney. Yeah, there's other things that need to be in place. So my advice, so to speak, in that situation would be, let's see if we can get those documents back in place. If we can't, we don't have sufficient capacity, then let's turn our attention to a guardianship.
So. Yeah. And while we're speaking about this too, I want people to know, your power of attorney or your healthcare surrogate doesn't have to be a family member.
Doesn't. Absolutely not.
Many times, it could be your friend. It could be. So, like, I love my sister, and I trust my sister with the world, but not as my healthcare surrogate. Because
It's a personal decision.
She would never, because of her religious beliefs or whatever, she would never pull my plug.
She would,
And that's not good.
That's not my wishes. Yeah, that
and I'll never
conflict.
Be hers because she doesn't want me to pull hers. And that's just fine.
That's fine, too.
That's fine.
So, well, you know.
And we don't love each other any less.
About 7 years ago, and I think we've talked about this before, is that my own healthcare surrogate that I drafted for myself named my brother to be my person to make those decisions. And I got hit by this truck walking across the street, and it was a really bad day.
Yeah,
a bad day. To the point in time where I was in a coma, I had a deep brain bleed, I was going to die. Neurosurgeon goes to my brother, because he's my guy, with that piece of paper, and he says, "What do you want me to do, Greg? What do you want me to do?" And my brother's like, "Well, what do you mean? Well, do you want me to go and do this surgery or not? Because I don't know what we're going
to
get back.
The surgery,
Yeah, he could come back, and he could come back not as Sean.
Right.
Okay. And so these are some risks here. What do you want me to do?" And there was a person to make it. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
And so the funny thing.
Otherwise, if you didn't have that, what would have happened?
Well, there would have been a health proxy.
Because I think people think if that just happens, if I get in an accident or something, my spouse or my brother or my sister or whatever, they can just step in.
There is a statute that appoints a person or gives a list of people that can act as a health proxy.
Okay.
So that's going to be not your choice. It's going to be what the statute has chosen as the person that can make that. So it could be, in your case, if you didn't have one, the exact person that you don't want making that decision.
Right.
So why would we rely on that?
It's all about choice.
Yeah. Tell us. It's not hard, man. It's not hard. No. So the funny story about the outcome of that whole thing with the neurosurgeon is we think he made the right decision.
I think he made the right decision. I think he thinks that, too, and the rest of your family and friends. But really, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I woke up the other night. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know when you start thinking about stuff? You're just laying there thinking about stuff. Nothing that's life-shattering or...
The wheels start turning.
I just want to go to sleep. And I was thinking that. I'm thinking, maybe if I'm doing a little breathing, I'm thinking maybe you need to find something you're grateful for right at this moment.
Sure, yeah.
And all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I am grateful for my heart. For 69 years it has pumped for me. And my kidneys and my liver and whatever else. And I didn't even have to ask it.
Right.
It just did it for me every day. And I thought I had this overwhelming sense of gratitude. You know, because I'm grateful for my house, my stuff.
Sure.
But when you think about that, you know, you could be having the crappiest day. And if you think about something like that, you're like, wow, this is like a miracle. Yep. Like, I'm a miracle. You're a miracle.
I have this thing in my kitchen. It's a little digital display, and it pulls up these different pictures that I've stored out on Facebook, I think is where it's coming from. And one of the pictures says, this morning I woke up and opened 2 presents. So my eyes, obviously. And that's like, and that's kind of my little grateful recitation on a daily basis, is that, you know, gratitude is super important.
Oh, and it is so simple, because you can't be grateful and miserable in the same thought.
You really can't. One does replace the other,
right,
for sure.
But some people don't get that.
It's a choice.
You can just change. Well, I have a little sign on the mirror in my bathroom that says, "You're looking at the person responsible for your happiness today." It took me a long time to learn that, though, in life.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think many people forget that or don't even realize it, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to me what I do and what I think and where I go. I don't want to miss a moment of my life.
Right.
And I wish I thought that when I was younger. And so if anybody's younger is listening, tune in. And I try to let my grandchildren know about that.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
In fact, my granddaughter, because I'm going to be a great-grandmother.
Oh, my goodness
gracious. I've always been a great-grandmother.
Yeah, but you've been, but a true great-grandmother. Yes, great-grandmother. Right. Is this first?
Yes, first great-grandmother. And she asked me if I would be in the delivery room.
Nice.
My heart.
That's pretty generationally cool.
My heart.
Very, very neat.
My heart. So I'm going there. She's not due until March, but I'm going to Colorado Springs November 20th to 27th.
It'll be cold. It's going to be cold.
Yes. Okay, I can do a little cold.
Yeah, I like Colorado Springs. Did I tell you? I think, I don't know if I did.
No.
I got the grandfather alert.
You did?
From my daughter. And on December 16th, if all things go correctly, this is hard, man. This is that milestone in life.
It is. So I'm a great-grandmother.
Being a father is one thing. A grandfather? Oh.
So, you know the sex?
Yeah, it's going to be a girl.
It's going to be a girl. Yeah. Well, we don't know what the sex is yet, but I bought her a dress.
Right.
So I just had to
so
get it.
So you're hoping for a boy?
It was like black and white polka dots with a little crinoline skirt. But my granddaughter did text me this morning and said, Grandma, I had a dream last night. She was a girl. I said, good. Very, very, so that makes me so excited. You know what? I don't care what it is. I don't care. We just want a healthy baby.
Absolutely.
And we want a good pregnancy.
Yep.
My poor granddaughter, she goes to the doctor. They took out 2 vials of blood and she passed out and threw up.
Does she always do that?
Well, she never had nothing wrong with her.
She passed out.
I was like, Skylar.
Oh, that is not.
She's like, okay, Grandma. Oh, you know, like, so now she's interested in when I gave birth to her mother. Right. She was never interested in that before.
Right.
And I said, piece of cake, Sky.
Right.
I said, when I was pregnant with your mom, the night I gave birth, I wasn't sure if I ate too much baked ziti or if I was in labor.
Right.
Now,
oh, that ziti.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I call the doctor. He goes, well, when that ziti is like on a regular basis,
right,
maybe you should come in the hospital.
How much is that ziti kicking?
And I checked into the hospital at 1:14 a.m. and I gave birth at 4:14.
Right.
Natural childbirth. You know, my husband looked like Dr. Kildare.
Right.
He was like, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. That's what he said. So I said, piece of cake, Sky. Don't worry about it.
It can be.
Yeah.
And that's the way we want it to go, for sure.
Yeah, but absolutely. You know, a lot of things, I took care of myself, what I did. I walked a lot before the birth. You got to do that stuff, too.
Yep.
But it'll all be good, Skylar Rooney. Lurch. Her married name is Lurch, but she's still my school, Skylar Rooney.
Right.
But her husband doesn't like when I say that, so...
You know it's Lurch. It's been a Lurch for a while.
But Skylar Rooney is just cute. It's kind of like Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, it flows, and that's what you know. Sure.
Well, her mother's Nikki Rooney.
Really?
So, yeah.
Nikki Rooney.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
With an N.
Yes.
Oh, my. And you did that.
Yes. No, well that's her married name. Her name was Nicole Michelle Burian.
Oh, right. So now I see what happens. Yeah. Nikki Rooney. That's great.
But it was really funny. When we first moved to Florida, my daughter was 18 years old and 21. I don't know. She was around there, whatever. And so she's a hairdresser. So she got a job in a salon. And there was already two Nicoles there.
Right.
So they wanted her to change her name. So she decided to change her name to Skylar. She always liked that name her whole life. This is before her daughter was born.
Really?
Yeah.
And then how about a different name?
No,
Skylar?
She liked that Skylar name. Well, now we fast forward 18 years or whatever, and Skylar's helping her mother out in the salon washing hair. And some lady comes in who's like 70 years old, and she goes, you look just like this girl, Skylar, that used to work here and wash my hair.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's like, that's my mom.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, but the lady gave her a $10 tip.
Well, all right.
It was all good. All right, well, right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. so I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back, and I believe we have my friend Teresa Wilbanks with me.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Joyful and grateful.
You're getting ready to go on an exciting trip.
Yes. I'm very excited. I'm a little nervous because I don't know anybody on the trip, but you know how bashful I am. I just want to land there and have like the guide people meet me, and then I'll feel better after that, yep. You know?
Oh, yeah. I heard you say there were going to be 14 women, and you're going to have like 14 new friends.
Yes, I know. So where are you now?
Oh, back near Memphis, Tennessee. So we were in Alaska for 3 weeks and now back home.
Wow.
That's fabulous. So I'll tell you, Teresa, really good things about how we're able to do our jobs and get to travel and do things and take care of ourselves as caregivers, but able to work via Zoom and all the things that they have today. It's just amazing.
It really is. It really is. You know, it was a while back that we were able to go away for 3 months and just kind of didn't miss a beat with work.
Yeah.
And this time was a little different. I was able to schedule things ahead. But, yeah, it really is. It's awesome that we can do that because, I mean, traveling is self-care.
Yes, it definitely is. Sean agrees with that, too.
I agree 100%. Yeah.
But you know what? It was only a year or so ago you couldn't do that.
Yeah, it was. Well, Dad passed in December 2020.
Okay.
I think that's something in the, you know, 2-3 years leading up that we couldn't travel at all. And between the pandemic and caregiving,
yeah. I mean,
so many of us have felt like we haven't been able to travel. So it was one of the things I missed the most, and I felt disconnected from myself because I wasn't able to travel. And I know, like, we all felt that with the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, a lot of the times when our loved one passes, we've been taking care of them 24/7 or whatever, and we're kind of lost. We're kind of lost to find our own purpose and what we're going to do. You know, a lot of people in my support groups now, we're starting to mentor. So if your loved one died from Parkinson's, you still come to the group, and a new person comes in whose loved one has Parkinson's, you guys can buddy up and talk in between. But there's, when your loved one does pass, there's a lot of healing to be done.
There is, and I've just recently talked to a couple of caregivers who've lost their care recipient, and I mean, they're struggling because, you know, we think, well, we'll be able to quickly reconnect to ourselves, and we missed all these things, but it doesn't work that way.
No.
I mean, our whole purpose was caring for our family member.
Yeah.
And when that's gone, and we're grieving, just even the little things that connect us back to ourselves is hard. But that's what I recommend is, you know, folks start with the small things and start thinking about, you know, what that looks like to, you know, feel like yourself maybe before, you know, pre-caregiving, and how you can kind of take those baby steps back towards yourself, really.
Yeah, and looking for yourself might just be going for a walk on the beach or going for a walk in the botanical gardens or going to the library, whatever your thing is. If you can take those baby steps, I say to my caregivers, just do one thing every day. Just one, because that's a step forward. Because
right.
You could sit in the house day after day after day after day. And especially if you have to, like, during that time, too, you have to go through your loved one's clothing and all that kind of stuff. But it is tough. It's tough to even many times reconnect with your old friends because you've lost that connection.
Getting out of the house is a big deal. I mean, you definitely got to get off the couch. You got to get out of the house. Library, I think that's an interesting situation. It gets you out into where other people are, and now you can have the opportunity to maybe do some exploration and tactile and see people. And
yeah.
Like the Largo Library down the street over
it's
in Largo.
Fabulous.
It's fabulous. There's like even a cafe there.
Yeah.
Know? So, yeah.
Yeah,
so
libraries these days are different than they used to be.
Oh, yeah, way, way different.
Yeah, you can go without feeling any pressure to talk to people, but yet you are out of
But you're out, exactly. It's a nice safe space, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, many times when there's a caregiver in my support group that's a male and their loved ones pass away, and or a female too, and they call me and they're like, Linda, do you want to go out to dinner? You want to go to a concert? You want to... You know, my life's pretty full already, and I say to them, why don't you think about joining Kiwanis?
Right.
Join a service organization.
Yep.
You know, you can be there for a couple hours a week. You'll be with people probably your own age. You make a little difference, and maybe you'll see, like, what's been happening in town because you've been in the house caregiving for 3 years.
Yeah. Reconnecting and restarting is
a
challenge for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, Teresa, tell me about this new Self-Caregiving Strategies podcast.
Yeah, the Self-Caregiving Strategies podcast, you know, it's something that Allison Van Shee and I...
I love her.
I know, I do too. We started talking about it quite a while ago, and then all of a sudden we're like, you know, we need to do this. And it's based on the 12 sustainable caregiving strategies that I came up with when I was struggling and burned out and didn't know how I was going to survive. And, you know, I share those with folks in a different format in a PDF ebook, and they're in my book, but I know that caregivers, you know, they're able to, like, hear messages at different times and different
mm-hmm.
ways when they'll connect. And a podcast felt like a really great way to share these strategies because, you know, you can be doing house cleaning and listening to a podcast or driving. So, yeah, that's how, and it's just all those strategies that, you know, Linda, you and I have talked about, and
yep.
We've recorded one on boundaries already, and we're about to record one on accepting help and mindfulness and all those, you know, all those things that can help us.
Well, I remember this is probably a couple of years ago, a caregiver told me, she said, that's when my radio show was on Saturdays. And she said, my daughter doesn't work on Saturdays, so she said... She would come over every Saturday and give me like 3 hours, you know, do
right,
whatever I want
right.
to do. She said, so I would leave the house and I would put on my headphone. I would go to Walsingham Park, which is
right.
a beautiful
yeah,
park.
Beautiful.
She said, and I would put the headphones on and I would listen to the radio show and I would walk the park. So she said I would get exercise, nature, and some good ideas.
So how do I find this podcast?
Excuse me?
Yeah, but how do I find this podcast? I mean, if I want to listen to this podcast, how do I find it?
Oh, yeah, it's on all of your favorite podcast places. So, I hate to name some, but, you know, Apple and...
Yeah, Apple, Overture,
okay.
Spotify,
and
all
again.
Those things, yeah. So you look for the title?
Yeah, the Whole Care Network also.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to do a search, let's say on YouTube, they just go to Self-Caregiving Strategies Podcast?
Yeah, Self-Caregiving Strategies Podcast. It can also go to my website, sustainablecaregiving.com.
Right. And I'll put all the information in the show. And a lot of my listeners already know you, Teresa, because you were part of, You've been on the show before, but you were part of my first conference and my second conference and will be part of my third conference. Amazing. It's only Sean's second time.
Right, I know. I'm a newbie. So. Well, I'm literally going to, when I leave the show today, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to pull that podcast up on my cell phone and I'm going to listen to it on my way home.
There you go. So. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think I really have something for everyone. And the really cool thing is it's not just something that'll help caregivers.
Right.
I mean, I've found these strategies are really important to me, even post-caregiving. I stopped using them, and I started feeling overwhelmed with life.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's because I'm not doing all of the things that were that helped me feel better while I was caregiving. And then I started to feel, again, you know, better, more like myself, more in control.
Teresa, I deal with caregivers basically every day, five or six of them a day, dealing with their issues as they're struggling through, you know, dementia and these kind of issues. And that's a good resource. I'm going to definitely pencil that in and get that out.
We're
going
to have to make a little booklet, Sean. We
should,
all
these absolutely. These are great.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, we learn something new all the time. And that's one of the fabulous things about the radio show and stuff. People contact me from all over the place now. Because I'm out there.
I'm out there.
But, you know, I learn new things and new products and new different things that can help people that I never knew about before. And that just makes me so excited. So we're going to – so talking about the conference, November 8th, 9th, and 10th, what four strategies are you going to talk about during the conference?
Yeah, so this – time, you know, in the past, we talked about preventing and recovering from burnout and reimagining control. This time, it's going to be about managing the emotions, and going to talk about just the turbulent, swirling emotions. So, venting, journaling, forgiving, and planning for the worries are the strategies we'll talk about.
Interesting. Yep.
Because once again, it's very important to plan. Because when you don't plan, it's a mess.
And planning
doesn't. It's all consuming, and that's why Sean,
Yeah, planning doesn't have to be hard. It's not a hard thing necessarily to do. You just got to take that step. That's it. And again, work with people that have gone there before and through a support group situation. This podcasting is great. And then, you know, those professionals that are out there that may have done this before.
Yeah.
You know, just because you don't know how to deal with it, there are people that do.
Or may know about resources that you don't know about.
Correct, absolutely.
We're in our Pinellas County area, we are rich with resources.
Thank you, God. Yep.
I'm so excited. I had breakfast yesterday with Joel Quattlebaum, Officer Joel Quattlebaum.
Yeah, I know Joel really well. Good
guy. So we're planning a conference at January 5th at the Largo Community Center because we got to bring information out to people.
I understand.
And some people need to be live again.
Yep, I agree. I agree. Live.
Yeah.
Not L live, but live.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, and so did I hear that Navigating the Caregiver River is going to be available in an audiobook?
Ooh.
Yes, it is. I'm so excited because, again, just another way that folks can access these strategies. And I'm fingers crossed October, but if not, definitely November. So I'll keep you posted and everyone posted on that.
Very cool.
So are you reading it or is someone else reading it?
Yeah, who's doing the voice?
Oh, my gosh. So I wanted to read it. I really wanted to read it. But, it might be 3 years, but it would come out. So I found this fabulous woman who's reading it, and I just absolutely love the connection that she has with the material in the book and her passion about it, and she's finished, and she's going through with a fine-tooth comb edit, and then I'll get it in less than. But absolutely love the person who's reading it, and I think you guys will too.
Well, it's really
hard to make my book into an audiobook.
Yeah,
I'm inspired.
You should.
I mean, absolutely.
But you know, it's just writing a whole book is a whole process. And I remember when I was writing my book, Good Night and God Bless, and I sent a bunch of pages to my editor, and I flew into New York, and I downloaded her responses and printed out the pages, and there was red marks all over my book. You know, like
that's a good sign,
and
by
I
the
was
way.
Like, So I had a glass of wine. I breathed a little bit, and then I called her, and she said to me, "Linda, the girl is beautiful. I'm just taking her to the salon to polish her up."
Right.
I'm like, you know how to work with me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's but good I think analogy. It's the same thing when you do an audiobook or someone's reading your book. You have to know who does what best.
Right, exactly. And editing, yeah. Boy, I tell you, I cannot believe how many times my book went through editing.
Oh my
and
God.
Every time it would come back, I'm like, is there still stuff in there that we didn't
I
fix?
And I have a problem with tenses.
Oh, yeah.
Past
sure.
tense,
yeah,
present
yeah,
tense yeah. kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's very fabulous. But I love the audiobooks, you know. I just thought it. So a few years ago, somebody turned me on to audiobooks, and I was listening to like all self-help, rich man, poor man,
sure,
you know,
sure.
all this stuff. And then I got sick of doing that. And then I just stopped listening to them. And then it was probably a little over a year ago, there was some Audible sale for, I don't know,
right.
99 bucks. You got 12 free books. And I belong to a book club now. And actually today, when I walked to the gym this morning, I was listening to a story about Machu Picchu.
Oh, right. Good. Very
so
cool.
I'm really liking it. And another thing what I'm liking about it, because I am getting older... that when I listen to the audiobook, there are different voices, so I can keep better track of the characters. Because sometimes I read a book, I got to go back, I'm going to read that chapter again.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So, really?
Yeah, I do about a book a week, actually, an Audible book
awesome.
A week. Yeah,
it's so, fabulous.
And some, you know, you can check them out at the library now.
Really?
The library, it's obviously free. It's an app on your phone, and you search the books, and it downloads right to your phone, and it's... fabulous.
Thank you, yeah. Sean. You taught me something new today.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Fabulous. It's good. Well, my book club next month, we're reading Animal Farm. I remember reading that
sure,
in high school.
Sure, right, right.
And when I went to download it yesterday, it was free.
Yep.
I was like, oh, thank you very much.
It's been around for a while.
That's yeah, just a little bit. I read it in high school.
I didn't mean that way.
So, all you guys, you should really tune into Teresa Wilbanks, sustainablecaregiving.com, and all her resources. One of the things that people have most mentioned in the conferences is when they hear Teresa speak and when they read her books, they feel calm.
Right.
They
nice.
Feel calm.
Oh, wow. That's a huge compliment.
Yeah, but it's so true. You know, just how you present things. And sometimes, too, some of the things you say, it just makes them laugh. Like, yeah, I remember doing that same thing.
Yep.
Or I remember that kind of thing.
Having that humor in the situation is important as well. It's a strange, you know, my office, what we're dealing with is, you know, some of the most horrible things you can deal with in your life, and emotional and, you know, just psychologically, just really, really bad. And my caregivers, my clients, they show up and it's strange how we end up laughing in the conference room.
Yeah.
And even if it's a little dark humor sometimes,
right.
But they will open up better, and they leave the office, I think, with that kind of a little bit of a humor. I know it's weird from a lawyer to say, try to make it a little light. It's so huge.
But
it's so important.
But it's so cool,
so
too,
important.
When they leave that office, they know I just accomplished something that was tough
heck
for
yeah.
me to do.
Absolutely. And then
that was tough for me to do.
Yeah, I always like to say it's easier to see me than seeing the dentist.
Really, I think so.
It's not going to hurt nearly as much.
It's true. And you know, especially for people that are listening, that you never want to worry your kids. Well, don't worry your kids.
Right.
Put this stuff in order now so you don't have to worry your kids. You know, the day comes that something happens to me, my daughter makes one phone call. Everything's taken care of with everything. Everything's understood.
And that's
everybody
the big
knows.
Part. Yeah, no, and with planning, I mean, the planning thing, and it's so important that we have a plan, and you have to take all this stuff and do it. Yeah, and I get there's real-world deliverables on having a plan, but here's the biggest thing about having a plan, is that you can stop worrying about not having a plan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's okay, you don't, all that weight and all that malarkey and all that stuff is just gone. And you're like, okay, I got one. Good.
I'm done.
Yeah. That was easy.
Otherwise, you're just ruminating on what could happen.
Oh, my God.
The steps that make that plan, then it really does stop.
It's freedom, in a sense. I mean, I'm not trying to oversell, but it's not hard. And once you do it, you'll feel a lot better.
Yeah. So. And you'll feel a lot better for your kids.
Yep. So.
For your kids, they don't have to worry about
everybody
it.
Everybody listening, plan.
Because you know what? It's just like I'm planning for this trip to Peru. There's stuff you need to do.
Yeah.
People make more plans for their trips than they do for their life.
You know, I'm very lucky about that whole trip planning thing. My wife does all my packing for me, so I don't have to touch the suitcase. So, well, I have to carry it, but I don't have to fill it.
It's nice to have a guy to carry it, though. But see, Lynn taught me how to pack. Each outfit is in a Ziploc bag.
Ooh, nice.
And it doesn't get wrinkled if you don't use it.
Right.
And it doesn't, so you just whip out a bag, it's all there.
Wow, very cool.
Yes.
I'll have to tell that to my wife and say, hey, yeah, I do know that we could use Ziplocs. That'd make it a lot easier.
It really does. It really does. All right. I went off all these topics, but caregivers, know that you all need to take a break for yourself. You need to go see somebody out on a vacation overnight if you can, or maybe if you can just meet a friend for an hour.
Yep. Go get a coffee.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%. Or just when your neighbor or somebody comes over and says, what can I do for you? Say, could you hang out with my loved one for an hour while I go take a walk? It really works. Respite's right, Teresa?
It's not just a week vacation. Yeah, it's not just a week's vacation like we're talking about. I mean, we all need respite, whether it's an hour.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
So once again, where can our listeners find you, Teresa?
Oh, sustainablecaregiving.com. Everything is there. So whether you're interested in the book or the podcast, or download the free PDF ebook with the strategies. Sustainablecaregiving.com.
Excellent.
Thank you, my friend.
Going there today. Absolutely.
All right. Wonderful.
It's always fabulous talking to you. We'll talk soon.
All right. Talk soon.
Have a delicious day. She is fabulous. And right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. I just want to let you guys know that there is an event coming up sponsored by Arden Quits of Lago with Dr. Kate McCarty, who is one of our, who's our first speaker at our conference on November 8th, and it's Playfulness and Dementia. So if you're interested in that, you can call Arden Quits of Lago at 727-559-8411. And Arden Quits every month has different seminars, so I listened to one of their seminars yesterday with Dr. Tam Cummings, and it was about speaking to your children and your grandchildren about your loved one's issues with Alzheimer's and dementia. Wow. And I think that's a very important thing to bring up. Recently, a friend of mine, their children knew that the dad had Alzheimer's, but they didn't want their grandchildren to know. They didn't want to let their kids know. Why? I don't understand why. And so all the kids were really close to their grandpa, and they're having some family event, and they have like a lot of property, they have these little houses and stuff. And everything the kids did, the grandpa was on them, because he has Alzheimer's.
Right.
And he's not acting right, and he's not acting like grandpa. Right. And the kid's behind the garage crying, "Why is grandpa being like that to me?
Nobody's cluing them in.
I didn't do nothing wrong, whatever." So his grandma said, Grampy has something wrong with him right now, and your parents are going to tell you all about it tonight. Good for her.
Pitch that ball.
And she told her kids, you have to tell them now. You need to tell them.
Because it's affecting them.
Yes. Yeah. And the next day, the next time his grandpa came to see him, he just hugged his grampy, and he just wanted to help his grampy with anything.
Right.
Because he could understand. Please don't tell the kids like that they have a disease, because that scares them, children. Just say there's a little problem with their brain.
Right.
There's a little problem with their brain, and maybe they can't always think as clearly, and maybe they can't always remember things.
Well, the words are important, and how you spin that, I think, is very, very important. And some words are much more fearful than others. So be sensitive to that, especially for those kids.
Yeah, but I think kids can be the most loving, acceptable people with dementia, because they don't care if they say something seven times.
Correct.
They don't care if they want to be silly, whatever kind
but
of
But they do
thing.
Need to have some sort of base understanding that it's not them that's creating the problem.
Right.
So Grandpa's mad at me. Well, maybe I didn't do anything wrong, but it's Grandpa's brain, and
so
he's got an issue with that.
I can work with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Grampy still loves me.
Correct.
Yeah.
Got to clue him in. Definitely got to clue him in.
Yeah.
Well, communication is important, and words are important, and having an understanding is important. These are not things that should be hidden.
No,
and it's just going to make it worse.
And it's always important. People think those things don't matter when the person has Alzheimer's.
It does.
It does.
I have these cards that I give away. They're in my office when you come in, and you can take a stack of them, and it's like a little business card, and it just says, please be patient. My
says that on the back of my business card,
Has
Alzheimer's and dementia. May have difficult understanding.
So you can clue these people in. I'm talking like the waiter at lunch as I'm giving this card to. Okay?
I used it twice when I was on my last vacation, and I've never used the cards. I've given out thousands, but I've never used the cards. And one time, we were at a restaurant with my cousin, who has progressive aphasia and some other issues.
Yep.
And we went in there. It's a restaurant they go to often, but there were no booths available.
Right.
And so we had to take a table, and he was like fidgety.
Right.
And after we ordered our food, though, I could see there was a table there. It was still dirty, but nobody was sitting there.
Right.
And you got to switch. And I just walked up to the waitress, and I just handed her the card, and she switched the table in.
And it was easier.
Yes, in 2 minutes. Yes. And then he sat in the booth, and he was
just
chill.
Just calm and chill, right.
And
right.
The other time was when I was with Canada. I was with my girlfriend and her aunt has some issues too. And we were sitting out. They said, sit at any table you want, but don't change tables.
Right.
That's what they said when we came in. And I was like, okay. Well, we were sitting at this lovely table, and then all of a sudden storm clouds started coming. Well, we're not going to sit in the rain.
Don't change tables.
Yeah.
Must stay at table in rain.
And so I just went and gave the card to the girl, and they moved us right underneath an umbrella.
I'm going to start bringing those cards when I'm out with my wife. Get upgraded.
It works, though. All right. If you want any of those cards, contact me or Sean. We'll get you some of those cards because they
100%
really do help. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You know how much I appreciate and love you guys. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
My name, and you know wherever I am.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.